welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. I'll be your host, Dave Trumbore. Joining me today, as always, D.C. area improv artist and comedian, Sean Paul Ellis. What's good, Sean?
David, I am well. How are you?
Oh, man, I love the energy coming from you today.
Get it.
Yeah.
Get it.
And from the West Coast joining us as well, it's Matt Barron. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Yeah, we are pretty excited to be talking about this one today. It's going to be a fan favorite, I think, in general. Definitely a favorite of mine growing up as a little five-year-old who loved dinosaurs to begin with. We're obviously talking Dino Riders, because what better way to enjoy your dinosaurs than with tiny little men riding on top of them? Yeah, that came out a little strange. But whatever. Tiny men. Lasers. Lasers is what I meant. Dinosaurs with lasers is what I meant to say.
Yeah. You know, this series was produced back in 1988.
Right.
Went for one season, totaled 14 episodes.
Which is sad. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I know. And because I agree wholeheartedly with you, David, is that I love anything related to dinosaurs. I don't care how bad it is. If it has dinosaurs in it, I will love it.
And there were plenty on TV around the late 80s.
There were so many dinosaur shows on that time, which I love, and I can't wait to talk more about. But this was like one of those shows that you were just like, oh my God, Tycho is straight up just trying to sell me stuff. And then you pause for a moment and you're just like, thank you so much, Tycho.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity.
I wanted to buy all of these anyway.
It was great. Like, it was like watching like half-hour-long commercials for awesome toys. So
I own several of these action figures, and they're in my garage right now.
Yeah, I think we talked about that offline. I have, like, few of them that, like, are actually motorized. So a lot of these things, like, they were good-sized toys, too. They weren't these tiny little chintzy things. They were good-sized toys. And I think there were, like, four or five that actually, like, were motorized and walked.
Yeah.
And they came out in like, three different series that kind of followed along with the different episodes and stuff. So I definitely had the T-Rex. I remember my neighbor had the good guys side of things, but
I had the Triceratops and like whatever the Brontosaurus was.
Yeah, whatever. The scientists have changed our dinosaur names so many
Diplodocus
times.
Diplodocus.
Yeah, or whatever.
Who cares?
And there are no more Triceratops.
I love it apparently. Anyway. That's here's the thing. You can call it like whatever, and I'd just be like, I love this dinosaur.
Exactly.
I want it.
Matt, did you watch this growing up? I can't remember if you did or not.
No, you know, I really didn't.
Well, then get the fuck out.
You know, I really remember the toys, and I know that I had them, but
wait, you had the toys, but you didn't watch the toy commercials for them?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. That never happened to you?
No. Well, I mean, sometimes I would get like random toys, just be like, I guess this is from a thing, but I don't.
Yeah,
know.
But I feel like it was also one of those like hastily bought toys on the way to a birthday party kind of thing. Like, oh, you get this, and I'm like, oh, dinosaurs with missiles, my favorite.
I would have been okay with that.
I would have been so happy about that.
I should have gone to your birthday parties.
Yeah, God.
Yeah, I wish we would have known each other in 1988.
Yeah, I don't know if we would have got along so much.
That would have been a mistake.
Yeah, probably.
But it's kind of cool looking back on this one now, because this show, like Sean said, it was 1988. It actually features a lot of voice actors who would be you'd come to know their names, well, at least we do now as like 30-year-olds. But very reoccurring actors that show up in a lot of different roles. So we've got Dan Gilvezan, I'm not sure how to say his name, the very famous, we've talked about on the show a number of times, Frank Welker. Frank Welker and Peter Cullen of Transformers fame, sort of as the Megatron and Optimus Prime, respectively. They actually show up, and they're kind of on the same side in this one, because they voice characters. They actually voice them on both sides, but they both worked on this show, which is pretty cool. And then some lesser-known names, Cam Clark, Rob Paulsen, and Jack Angel.
Oh, what was it? I'm sorry. What was his name, Dave?
His name was Robert Paulsen.
Yeah, there you go.
That one? Is that the one you're looking for?
Yeah. Perfect.
So these guys, we'll talk about them in like upcoming shows. They do a lot of different voice roles over the years, so they're fairly common. But as far as the actual show, Dino Riders, we already told you it's about dinos with lasers on their heads. But to get into a little bit more of the meat of this, who wants to give us kind of a synopsis of what this show is actually about?
Man, I'll tell you what. This is the classic good versus evil struggle between two wonderful races.
Wonderful, is that the word you're going with?
I think I'm going to go with that. Okay. I'm gonna, the Valorians.
Correct.
And the Rulons.
Yeah.
And I think my favorite thing about this show, before I do the deep dive into this is that the names of this are so basic and clear in terms of like what they are trying to imply with everything that like you really have to be a dum-dum not to pick up on, you know, what's going on. So these Valorians are trying to escape the Rulon's grasp, and they are having this problem with, I think it's called the step crystal.
Yep.
With being able to like jump, which like jumps them into some hyperdrive.
Yeah, it's an acronym for space time energy projector. So perfect. There you go. There you
go. I love it already.
That's good stuff.
But we're not even at the dinosaurs yet. Nope. That's the best part.
Yeah, these guys are just flying through space at this point. Just
flying through space. This is basically like if you would have opened up, like if this would have been the first episode of Transformers, like with the Autobots and Decepticons.
More or less.
Same exact thing.
Yep.
Like same exact mapping. Valorian's trying to escape. They're just trying to like get the hell out of there. Rulons are all of a sudden like, hey, we're gonna get them in a tractor beam. Great. That ends up powering the Valorians. They both jump back in time together.
Yeah, that's all you really need to know, because they land on prehistoric Earth where there happen to be dinosaurs.
Does anybody remember they get off of the ship and like what the first comment is that they make?
Yeah. Well, why don't you save that and tease the listeners a little bit before we get to the actual
God.
Show? Because there are so many good things in the first few minutes of this first episode that we really got to hit them. But since Sean's talked a lot about the Valorians and the Rulons, let's kind of dig into the characters a little bit here. So Valorians, you don't really have to stretch the imagination too far to imagine that they're the good guys. Not only do they have the word valor in their name, they're all just like the very He-Man kind of heroic looking, all human. Which helps, because the Rulons are definitely not human whatsoever.
Like all blonde bowl cut.
Yeah, they're all very, like, almost Hitler youth kind of Aryan race. So oh, I geez. Guess they're the good guys? Yeah, but you can, if that
Jonathan
wasn't enough,
Brandis Hitler youth clothes, that's what it was.
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's pre-Sequest, but it's pretty close. Yeah, so like Sean was saying, some of their names, wow, they're rough. You guys want to go through some of their names?
Leader of the Valorians, none other than Questar.
Yeah, and you can really
right,
stop right
they
there.
They took the words quest and star yep. because he's a space-time traveler.
Now, I'm wondering if he had, like, a son, maybe, like, a younger version of him.
Oh, like a younger Questar?
Yeah, I don't know what you would call him.
Oh, we would just call him Youngstar.
Oh, you'd call him Youngstar?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Of course. Huh. Call him Youngstar. Done.
Oh, I like that.
Hmm. Like, simple enough.
This was, now granted, when you're a toy company and you're making a half an hour long commercial to sell your toys, you really don't have to think that deeply or like really dig into their character background or name origins, things like that. Questar, Youngstar, good enough.
Oh, Dave, if you had like, or Matt, if you guys had like a really young member of your team, like a young laddie, yeah. like what do you think that you'd call him?
I don't know. What would you say?
I'd probably go with just lad.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
that makes sense. That's but you'd
exactly
spell it weird, right? You'd spell it like
yeah.
weird, like Scandinavian
yeah.
stuff.
I'd make it real subtle Scandinavian stuff. Yeah. I'd spell it like L L A H D.
Yeah. A H D is definitely
Yeah.
It's definitely what I think the viewers and probably writers of the show had some. ADHD.
It was weird because, like, watching it, like, I literally thought they were just calling him, like, LAD. They're like, settle down, lad. And I was like, oh, okay, they just don't.
Yeah, you just thought they were, like, Scottish.
They just haven't used his name yet, and they were just kind of, like, placating him because he was very rambunctious. And they were just like, just chill, lad. And he was just like, no, I want to do something. And then, like, I'm reading more about the show. I'm like, oh, no, that was that idiot's name.
Yeah, that was
like,
his name.
Damn it.
Like, well, I mean, it gets worse than that, though, too, because they basically, like, they get this one guy who's just, like, his one weapon of operation that he uses is basically just a turret, like laser cannon mounted on the.
Yep.
His name's Turret.
His
name's Turret.
If you had a war veteran who was like your kind of like your man at arms,
kind of like a marksman, used a lot of
yeah,
rifles,
exactly.
Guns. Yeah.
Used a lot of guns so much that you would just call him Gunner.
I'd say Gunner, but again, I'd spell it Scandinavian style and spell it with two U's. So it goes
and
on and it gets much worse.
Here's the stumper. All right. Matt, if you had a blind grandfather,
oh God,
that was hanging out, what would you call blind grandfather? And keep in mind, this is breaking the pattern. He can't be just called blind grandfather.
No, he can't be. But he does have sort of a sixth sense that he can sort of sense things around him using only his like mental powers.
Right.
Let's see. I'd probably call him Mind's Eye?
Yeah, Mind's Eye, Mind's Eye. I have no idea.
Yeah, Mind's Eye.
Mind's Eye.
Yeah.
There it is. So you think the Valorians are bad. The Rulons, not much better.
Not
it might
better.
Be way worse, actually. My favorite is their leader. Because when you're the leader of the evil Rulons, you're probably, man, I don't even want to play this game anymore. Like, what would
let's
you
stop,
call him?
Stop.
Yeah, his name's Krulos. Okay? His name's Krulos. And he's basically like this sort of frog-like human creature who, like, I didn't realize this until way later in the series, but he's got this sort of, like, domed exosuit that he kind of wears, this, like, domed headpiece that he kind of sees through.
Yeah.
I never realized that was, like, water-filled. I never realized
oh,
that he
really?
Was in, like, a liquid environment. Yeah, because it gets, like, cracked open later on. The stuff starts leaking out. He's, like, drowning, basically, because he's sucking down air.
Guys, you know, amphibian shit.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Didn't even think of it. So, yeah, and then there's things like... go ahead.
There's, like, a shark. It's called Hammerhead.
Because he's a hammerhead shark.
A snake. It's called Rasp. There's an ant. They're not even trying at this part.
Gave
he's
up.
Just called Antor.
The
like,
leader of the ant man. The
croc is just called... The crocodile guy is just called Croc.
Yeah.
Like,
they gave up.
Shut up. Like, you're just not even trying at this point.
And they really weren't. Because, again, it was just... Yeah, it was just toy guys. They're just like, let's do a crocodile creature. His name's Croc. Next, ant creature.
Yeah, you know, I totally envision, like, you know, the people who were loosely writing this show as, like, kind of it being, like, 4:57 on a Friday,
yep.
And you've got to, like, get the, you know, names on somebody's desk before you leave for the weekend. Like, okay, like, Questar, yeah, that's kind of good, yeah. God damn it, it's 4:57. Like, all right, Croc,
just scribble them out.
Core,
done. Just done.
Croc, Rasp, Hammerhead.
It's fine.
Yeah.
The worst part is,
and
like...
And here we go.
Yeah, and then, like, later on they get, like, weird, like, specialized sections. So, like... For the good guys, there's a special force called the Commandos. Again, they now, granted, you're a few episodes into it, they still don't even care. There's one guy who's like, he specializes in Master of Disguise. Of course his name is Chameleon. Spelled in a bizarre kind of way.
You have a demolitions expert at that point, and he's just called Bomba.
Yep.
Like, they just added an A to
they just
the
don't
word
care.
Bomb.
This
like,
show is like,
shit.
Represents everything that is... terrible and amazing about like 80s and 90s cartoons, and I love it.
Oh,
this is like the reason we started doing this podcast is for this show alone, because it's so ridiculous. Oh man, the worst part is they even get, so I think it's like the last two episodes, it's a two-parter where they go into the Ice Age. They actually encounter basically prehistoric like cavemen, so prehistoric humans. The young one is just called Cub. And at that point, just stop. That's when the show
just
was done, because people just gave up. But we had very auspicious beginnings, as Sean mentioned. Now, you would think that for an animated cartoon series, you've probably seen the animation pop up here and there for Dino Riders. How this episode begins, probably a little bit surprising. Do you guys remember how it begins? Do you remember that, like, 30-second intro?
It starts with a Take On Me music video.
Yeah.
Like, of a kid walking around a museum, and he's trying to figure out, like, what's going on. And this jerk, this kid that ruins it for everybody else on the field trip, wanders away from the rest of the group. That's exactly what they tell you not to do in these situations.
You gotta stay
this
with
kid
your buddy.
Wanders away, and just... And the dinosaurs just come alive. And here's the amazing thing, is that if you think to yourself, like, oh, man, I bet this is... mildly educational. It's not. Nope. And if you think to yourself, oh man, maybe they'll call this back in a later episode, they don't.
Nope. There's no connection whatsoever. I have no idea why it started that way. Maybe the guy who did the Take On Me music video, like, wanted to get into cartoon production and, like, did the first...
Trying to get that NEA money, probably.
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, they snap anything, as we've seen. But, yeah, I don't know. But they give up. Yeah, like you said, John, they give up on that. If it was a premise, if it was just a cool idea they had, they throw it away within the first, like, 30 seconds, because then from there on out,
I mean,
it's all cartoon crazy.
It's amazing that they acknowledge it, and then they're just like, well, this was a dumb idea, and we just really liked Aha, and screw it.
Fair enough.
Like, they just run away from it as quickly as possible, so whatever.
Yeah.
It was good. Here's the thing. It was ruining us from getting to the fun dinosaur space drop.
Yeah, that 30 seconds was unbearable. I almost turned it off. But I never actually did.
So, you didn't.
No. Man, I had, like, the VHS copies of these things. Going back to what we were talking about earlier in the show, like, I had the VHS copies of these. I had the toys themselves. I could have sworn when I was a kid there were more than 14 episodes. But as we've seen, definitely not.
Yeah.
So it was kind of surprising. This first one, like, if you watch the first episode, though, it really does set the stage for, like, the entire series. Because it's just, like you said, it's that good versus evil. It's a series of bad guys look like they're going to win. Good guys are in trouble. Good guys turn it around at the last second. And I mean, it's pretty much like, it for all 14 episodes, yeah.
Like, the one thing that I do, I'm going to start getting into episode one. Like, the one thing that I like about this is just that, like, it plays into, like, those, like, a lot of, like, the good versus evil, like, tropes. Like, they crash land. They crash land on a planet. I won't tell you what planet it is just yet. All right? But they crash land on, or they crash land, and the Valorians crash land into, like, this nice grassy meadow. Yep. Like, it's a beautiful place where they can begin to, like, cultivate, like, you know, agriculture and growing, like, a small farm. The Rulans, man, they crash into, like, the side of a volcano. They crash into, like, an area that's, like, full of, like, molten rock.
Yeah, it's just dry and craggy and rocky.
It's evil. Yeah. Like, it's just, it looks menacing.
It was 100% the Thundercats kind of opening thing for me.
Oh, yeah.
100% the exact same thing. Well, even before they get the Mumra, but yeah, like the mutants chasing the Thundarians, same kind of thing. Except in that case, nobody was quite human. In this case, it's creatures chasing humans, but yeah, almost exactly the same. Or Transformers, like you mentioned earlier. But yeah.
So the thing that I love about this show is that, like, they don't fuck around.
Nope.
Like, that's what I love about it. And, like, they don't spend any time, like, trying to, like, here's the thing. Valorians hate wasting time, all right? So they're just not gonna do it for you. So don't worry about it. And so, like, they get off of this ship and just please tell me that somebody knows, like, exactly what they say.
I'll let you say it because I can kind of remember what they say. I love the fact that, like, so as, like, a scientist background trained in, like, microbiology, I love that they land on this planet and then just walk right outside. Just walk right outside. No suits, no nothing. Everything's fine. Just walk right outside. But yeah, what are,
like,
they saying?
They're cautioning the wind. They immediately know because they see dinosaurs. Questar's just like, oh, we must have landed on primitive Earth. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, yeah. Way to just put two and two together, buddy.
Now, like, who knows? Maybe in their, you know, their galactic university system, maybe they know about primitive Earth. And that dinosaurs roamed, you know, 65 million plus years ago. Maybe they know that. And they just happened to land here because their step crystal went all wonky and threw them back in time and space.
I think the other beautiful thing about this show that the Valorians, like, don't waste your time on is they have these, which becomes, like, immediately...
I know where you're going with this.
Is immediately explained.
It's like a total crutch, but
yeah, which, like, Baron, I think you mentioned before, like, it's never really explained. They just use it.
Nor should it be.
No. It's very, like, internal technology. Yeah. Yes. To the show.
Every Valorian wears a pendant around their neck, and that just allows them to communicate telepathically with dinosaurs.
Never explained.
Who doesn't want that? I want that now.
I definitely want that.
Want that so bad. And, like, they just they basically touch down. Point one,
yep,
get to Earth. Point two, realize that you're on Earth. Point three, talk to dinosaurs.
Yep, they right, like, to just, it, man. That's maybe 10 minutes, just, maybe 5 10 minutes.
They put their hand, like, right to their pendant, and they're just like, let's be friends.
Dude, these dinosaurs are just, oh, like, so, oh, chill. Yeah, these cool dinosaurs are so chill because they're just like, oh, there's these things, these weird creatures we've never seen just landing in a giant metal fiery ship.
I mean, like, I feel like if these dinosaurs are going to be this chill, then they need to be, like, Denver-quality chill.
Oh, I don't even want to talk about Denver, the last dinosaur, ever again.
You're welcome.
Ever again.
Welcome. Brought it up. So, yeah, I mean, like, they begin, like, using these dinosaurs for, like, agricultural means.
Well, here's the thing. So as ambitious as these Valorians are, I will posit that the Rulans are equally as ambitious, just in a very different direction. I'm going to let Matt, do you want to talk about the Rulans' kind of approach to this new world filled with dinosaurs? And so the Valorians see them as agricultural and friendly and, like, maybe defense partners. How do the Rulans see them?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think a good way to characterize it is kind of Valorians are, I mean, they're, like, definitely domesticating the dinosaurs, but it's a much more, like, kind of symbiotic relationship. Yeah. The Rulans just set up, like, a factory, pretty much, and just start enslaving these things with, what do they call them, brain cases?
Brain boxes.
Or something? Brain boxes.
Yep.
Brain boxes, and they just, like, make their eyes go, like, meth addict red bloodshot.
Just fucking berserk. They make them just go insane.
they just start fitting weapons on them. And I'm like, at that moment in the episode, I was like, if you've got the technology to outfit the dinosaurs in this way, you probably have the technology to just fix whatever is broken on your ship and then just take the step crystal.
You would think. Because, that central conceit is, the Rulons trying to get the step crystal so they can leave the Valorians behind. They can go back and take over the universe. The Valorians are trying to patch up the step crystal so they can get back and leave the Rulons there to kind of just, rot or whatever. But that all kind of gets sidetracked because dinosaurs. So what the hell, why not? I love the brain boxes, though, because Krulos, you can see it in his beady little frog eyes. When he sees these dinosaurs, he's just like, oh, my God, my lifelong dream to have an army of dinosaurs is finally within my grasp. And they do, Matt, like you said, they do some terrible stuff. They corral these dinosaurs, into, these, cattle chutes almost. And they just, rope them around the neck and hold them in with, electrodes.
I mean, they montage this up.
Oh, it's a great, great montage, too. It's terrible, but it's great. It's so good.
It's
because they're just cattle prodding these things and,
I mean, the process was – it was comical, and at the same time, you're just kind of like, Jesus, that's violent.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. Now, you would think
oh, go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to say, you would think that if you need to be lord of this prehistoric Earth where there are dinosaurs, you might want to get the king of the dinosaurs on your side. And before we get to that, well, Sean, what were you going to say? Because I want to take maybe a quick commercial break here before we get
Dave,
to the king of the dinosaurs.
I'm glad that you mentioned that.
Excellent.
Because if your town has some type of a levee or let's say a structure that holds back water, say a dam,
a dike, whatever.
Let's say that dam breaks. What are you going to use to fix it?
I don't know. Do you have something in mind,
Matt? Do you have something in mind that you would use?
I don't know. What would you recommend, Sean?
Guys, I'm going to tell you right now about this incredible product, Tyco Super Blocks.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. And guess what? Compatible with Legos.
Yeah, how about that? Snaps right on.
The version that we found and all three of us watched on YouTube for Dino Riders has some of the most nostalgic and wonderful commercials that we have seen in forever.
Oh,
and they
packed
are
them
ridiculous.
In there too.
They are ridiculous. Guys, what goes along with radio control cars? Just spitball, top of the head. What goes well with RC cars? Keep in mind.
I remember glow in the dark train
keep
tracks.
In mind, keep in mind, if you don't say banjo music.
Oh, yeah.
Banjo I'm going to throw you out a window.
definitely banjo music. Tyco RC and then banjo music. They had so many, though. They had, these crazy, the remote control cars. They had, Formula One racers that were remote control cars. They had these, ones that were almost like slot car racers that were on a track but would, knock each other off and, jump over canyons and, jump over streams. They had these trains that were going, up the walls and, in loop-de-loops. And I remember those
as a kid. That train was the worst thing I've ever seen.
It was basically like a Japanese bullet train, a passenger train.
I imagine if you had the really nerdy engineer dad who worked on rail systems or some sort of just really,
monorails. Yeah,
exactly. Monorail. if you got that toy, I would look across the room at my dad and just say, what the fuck is this, Dad?
Take it back, Dad.
You want me to build this train?
Don't
this
even
train
open the
to
box,
nowhere?
Dad.
Yeah.
Just, Dad, you're the worst, and I want to take back my number one dad.
Oh, take back that mug?
Take back that mug that I gave your father's name.
That was harsh.
And just Sharpie a 2 on there.
But I will say this,
though. You just knock him down 1 point. Knock him down a couple. Put a 0 at the end of that.
Hey, he's got some ways to go. But no, I will say this. The Tyco commercials that, intersperse this craziness of dinos with lasers on their heads, those commercials almost better produced than the entire show itself.
Oh, God,
I mean, they had, great production quality. Stuff is blowing up. These little, construction vehicles are patching stuff together and, saving people. And there's live, water flooding the place and all kinds of crazy stuff. That was a lot of fun as a kid. I love watching those things. Did you guys buy any of those toys? Did your parents buy any of those toys? I don't think I ever had any of those.
I definitely had the RC race car.
No, I've never had that one. You lucky bastard.
I don't think I had that one either.
Well, Matt had the number one dad, so what are you going to do?
No.
Well. Now back to Dino Riders. So, like we said before the commercial break, if you're going to brain box a bunch of dinos, you kind of need the king of dinosaurs. So that means you need Tyrannosaurus Rex. And, of course, Krulos and the Rulons get a hold of him. Sort of. They kind of have him for a while. They have some glaring weaknesses with their brain boxing techniques, which is basically like... So
lack of a chin strap?
Yeah, no chin strap. Not really secured at all, just kind of like... contour shaped and just hanging out on the dinosaur's back. So if a well-placed laser shot hits it, that thing's gone. It's done. And then the dinosaurs are free to rampage, as they will, take down whoever the hell they want. So at this point, like, the Valorians have harnessed their own dinosaurs and they're using them for agriculture, but they see that the Rulons are kind of gearing up to take them down. So they add their own lasers and stuff to them as well. And you would think, like, when I think back on, like, G.I. Joe, or I think of any cartoon with, like, a laser... I think we mentioned this, too, that, like, you would think the bad guys have what color lasers? Or even, like, Star Wars lightsabers.
Oh, yeah, red. You think bad guys have red.
Right, and you think good guys have, like, green, blue, something like that.
Just bullet-colored.
Bullet-colored laser. It was just weird because this show was, like, completely switched around, and they kept that for the entire series, which I thought was just kind of strange. But regardless, everybody's got lasers. Nobody can hit a goddamn thing with the lasers. So there's just laser fire everywhere.
You know, and that's surprising, because dinosaurs are, by nature, excellent marksmen.
Yeah, if they would have just left them alone, probably would have taken care of the problem. Would have been no
don't get
deal.
It.
No. And once these idiot humans start riding around on their backs. Oh, this brings me to an interesting point. Sean, I don't know if you remember this, but you made a very funny point when we were talking about this show offline. Basically comparing the idea of Krulos, the amphibian, riding a dinosaur... Do you remember what you said?
If I was to take like a cross-country flight and I got on your back and you flew me, like he's riding on his ancestor.
He's riding on his ancestor. So Sean was like, that makes about as much sense if I went back in time and just rode around on the shoulders of a caveman into battle.
Yeah, it's like if I got on like my dad or my grandfather, somebody older than me, right. And I rode them into an epic battle.
Into epic laser battle. It's basically that was the premise for a lot of this show. And like I said before, I mean, so in this episode, I mean, honestly, not a whole lot happens that you don't expect. You know,
it is like the quintessential, like, we crash land, we developed some resources, the bad guys developed some resources, and then they just fight at the end.
Yeah. And then one well placed shot takes out the T Rex brain box. Which makes the T-Rex go crazy, and the Valorians kind of win the day. Well, let's talk about that, because up until that point, for probably eons and eons and generations, they called themselves Valorians, right?
Right. Oh, they do.
Yeah, now they've been here for maybe half a day.
Yeah.
You know, domesticated these dinosaurs in 20 minutes, sowed a bunch of crops, fought a bunch of Rulons. Meh. Valorians doesn't quite have that same, you know, jazzy kind of ring to it.
Je ne sais quoi.
Yeah. What should we call ourselves now?
Oh, let's just straight up call ourselves Dino Riders.
Oh, there you go. Dino Rider. Oh, damn it, I missed
it. You're doing Dinosaucers.
Do Dinosaucers again.
We are watching Dinosaucers. That's my next pick.
It's definitely in my head. But yeah, so now they are the Dino Riders. Now, the funny thing is that the Rulons continue to call them Dino Riders. Right. It's like they got a memo at some point that like, oh, hey, guys, we're not going with the whole Valorian thing anymore. It's kind of antiquated. It's our old life. We're Dino Riders now.
Here's the thing.
You guys ride dinos, too, but we got the name first. So.
Yeah. Why didn't, like, isn't everybody technically just a Dino Rider?
Everybody's a Dino Rider.
Hey, also, in all of our hearts, aren't we just all Dino Riders?
I wish I was a Dino Rider. Are you kidding me?
I know, right? I want to be so bad.
Would have loved it.
Every day I get in my car, I'm just like, I wish this was a Stegosaurus.
I had that thing, wow, Stegosaurus, that's a rough one to ride. You need those side saddles. Oof.
Whatever.
Oof.
Hey, he's got the side saddles. Bone plates on the side. It's covered. It's camo.
Yeah, it's camo. Whatever.
Camo. I'm a chameleon, man. Yep.
So that's pretty much all you need to know about Dino Riders, except would you guys actually recommend checking this one out? 100%. I watched a few of the episodes.
I would 100% recommend watching this. If I have not iterated this or made this comment about dinosaur cartoons before, if you watch the first episode, we can be friends.
Yeah.
If you watch Dino and friends. Enjoy the first episode, we can be best friends.
Oh, that's nice.
And I love Dino Riders. It's short. It's short. You know, it's only 14 episodes. Oh, so yeah. Do yourself a favor and just watch the first one because, I mean, it is just the art and animation style and the coloring that they use for it and just the terrible haircuts.
And names.
And the even worse names, I mean, they all just fall under the shadow of the fact they are riding dinosaurs and it makes the show fucking amazing. All you need to know.
It's really all, it represents everything that this podcast, this show's about and why we kind of like started doing it because it's awesome. And it's great to just go back and watch it.
I'm giving this show 5.
5 out of what?
Out of 3.
5 out of 3.
Yeah. Remainders.
Oh, nice. Learn it, kids. This show is not educational. Matt, you
said... trying to get that NEA money.
Well, neither the podcast nor Dino Riders is educational.
A 5 out of 3. I give it a 1 and a 2/3. Yeah.
Matt, you said you didn't watch it, but how do you feel?
Yeah. I do not recall watching this show growing up, but, you know, I thought it was a good show. I mean, I watched, probably 4.5 episodes or so, and, of course, it's that classic good versus evil 80s plot, but it's watchable. I mean, definitely check it out. If you like 80s cartoons, this needs to be on your list.
Yeah, definitely. So that's 3 recommendations, mine included. I don't know how much of this they actually have on like DVD, definitely not Blu-ray, but maybe DVD. So we'll have that up on the website. We'll tell you where you can find that in a second. I want to give these guys a chance to do some of their plugs and let you know what they've got coming up. So, Sean, let's start with you. What's coming up for you?
Oh, man, this July 12th at 10 p.m., I'm going to be performing with my improv group, Knox, at Washington Improv Theater, it's going to be at the Source Theater in U Street. I should just start this plug. I'm terrible at promoting myself.
You got it.
No editing whatsoever. Source Theater, Washington, D.C., 10 p.m., performing with a group called Knox.
Excellent. We'll have that information up on our website, too, so you don't have to listen to Sean stumble through it. Matt, anything coming up for you, buddy?
Please be way more cognizant than I am.
Yeah, I'm amazingly enough, July 12th, 10 p.m. East Coast, 7 p.m. West Coast, I will be sitting down to a pastrami sandwich in my living room and enjoying that. None of you are invited.
That means neither us nor the listeners are invited?
Well, no, you guys are invited. Listeners, no.
Oh, I thought you were going to go the other way with that. I definitely would have invited the listeners and not us, chuckleheads.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know them.
Well, you got to make some friends. Make some friends out there in podcast land.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well,
Dave, what are you doing in the future?
I'm not doing a whole hell of a lot, but the website that I write for, Collider.com, will be headed to Comic-Con at the end of July. So if you guys are interested in that, make sure to head over to Collider.com and check it out. Whole bunch of stuff that we'll be covering. If you're interested in finding out more about us here at Saturday Morning Cartoons, you can visit us at our website, SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. That's morning with a U. You can also follow us on Twitter, @MorningToons. And you can find us on Tumblr. Sean's been putting a lot of really cool stuff up there. A lot of vintage kind of like cartoon stuff and a lot of stuff that we've talked about already in the episodes that we've posted. That's at our Tumblr page, SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. You can find me on Twitter at DrClawMD. Sean, where can we find you in social media?
I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Sean Paul Ellis.
And Matt, do you want the people to find you or not so much?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, there you go. Where at?
Twitter, I'm at MattSF07.
So there you go. If you guys want a pastrami sandwich, just hit him up on July 12th at 7 p.m. Eastern. Or so Western, sandwiches. I apologize. And there you go. And that's it for us today. But next week on Saturday Morning Cartoons, we'll be talking about one of Matt's favorites, one of my favorites as well, Exo Squad, a very underrated cartoon. Very cool stuff. So I'm looking forward to that one. Until next time, this has been Saturday Morning Cartoons.